You guys can have a seat. Man, I love that song. You guys like that song? Don't Stop Believing, man. It's like an anthem. And just don't stop. Just believe and don't stop. Thank you. She said, nice shirt. I mean, you can't say that a guy who wears a purple Kool-Aid shirt isn't full of glee, right? Or at least putting on a show. Man, I've been worshiping with you guys and singing. Let me just take a sip here. Don't stop believing, but I fear that maybe that's what some of us have done. Think that some of us have stopped believing that God is with us, that he's who he says he is, and that he's going to do exactly what he said he'll do. And because we've stopped believing that, we've lost our glee. We've lost our glee because we've forgotten the truth that the prophet Isaiah shares with us in chapter 41, verse 13. Because I, your God, have a firm grip on you and am not letting go, I'm telling you, don't panic. I'm right here to help you. But if you forget that God's with you, if you forget that he's got a hold on you, in this day, in this time, with the things that come at you in life, it can be real easy to lose your glee. What is glee? What's that word we're talking about? Glee. It's a couple of different things. One, it's a hit television show. And how many people are willing to be honest and say that they enjoy watching Glee? Show of hands. Keep your hands up. Okay, I have one real man up here. Because the rest of you, many guys in the room are lying in church right now. Because you know, now you may say to your friends, my wife made me start watching it. But you know what? Every Tuesday night, you're sitting down beside her, tuning into Fox and watching it. Let me ask you this. How many of you have at least watched it or tried to watch it at least once? Okay, cool. So several people have seen the show Glee. It's the name of our series for the next couple weeks, Glee. But more importantly, Glee is defined as open delight, pleasure, or visible joy. When you hear the word Glee, it's talking about the kind of joy that just kind of comes out of you. You know, you just can't help but realize that someone's got joy. It's that kind of joy we're talking about, that people just see it in you. When they see that you're gleeful, they know that you've got joy in you. So why are we doing a series called Glee? Some of the staff are still asking that question. But here's why. It's been kind of rough. Economy's been up and down, and there's been tragedies, and just overall, the staff, the pastors, we've been sensing that, you know, there's this kind of this underlying gloom and doom feeling going on. That maybe there are some people, maybe you're one of them, that just you're kind of going through life right now with a sense of hopelessness, of despair, of fear, of uncertainty. And it's our hope with the next couple of weeks that maybe if we look at a couple of things, we can move from that gloom and doom to a place where our joy is a little more visible, to a place where someone might look at us and say we've got glee. How many of you are willing to admit that lately it's been a little tough to show your joy? You're willing to say, you know, lately it's been a little hard to show some joy, all right? Thanks for being honest. How many of you would be willing to be even more honest and say, you know, I'm so far from joy that whatever the opposite of glee is, it'd be like misery. I'm pretty close to that right now. I'm pretty close to that. Keep your hands up. I'm going to help you out here. Just a few of you, and maybe you can share. So I've got some glee gum here. Don't be glum. Chew glee gum. So I'm just going to, everybody pay attention. Every time I do this, I hurt somebody's eye. Flying stuff coming at you over here, and then share it with the people around you. Good job sitting on the front row and then pass it back. And see how far I can get back there. There we go. All right. So maybe if you share that chewing gum, just don't stick it on the back of your seats, please. Maybe you can spread some glee around the room. If you're here today and you're a little less than gleeful, you're a little less than joyful, you're not alone. I'd venture to say that pretty much everybody in the room at some point in the recent past has been less than joyful, has been less than gleeful. People don't look at you and say, man, he's full of joy. Man, I could just see the joy overflowing out of her heart. I'm not saying you live there, but I'm saying at least at some point in the past, you know, couple of months, most of us have been there at one point in time. Let me tell you where I'm at with this. I have been one of the biggest proponents for us doing this series because I have conversations with you guys. You know, we talk in the lobby, we talk on the phone, I get emails out in the community. I just sense that there's a lot of people going through life saying, you know, things are pretty bad and I don't think they're getting any better. And I said, we've got to do a series soon that helps people realize that there's stuff really that you can be joyful out with and be full of glee. But here's what's happened to me over the past couple of weeks. God's kind of messed with me because, you know, I laid the foundations for this message like over a month ago. But there's been a process involved because I've been struggling. And I didn't realize I was struggling with stuff, but this has been one of the hardest messages I've ever come up with because there was some stuff going on inside of me that was keeping me from being joyful. Now, when you look at me, you know, walking down the street, you may not think, oh, he's gloomy and doomy. I tend to be pretty positive about things. I tend to try to keep things, you know, pretty up. But there's some stuff that bothers me that would never bother you that I let, you know, get at me on the inside. And of course, there's some stuff that bothers you that would never bother me. There's stuff that tears at your joy that would never tear at my joy and vice versa. But God had to deal with me kind of on an inner level because here's what's for me. And again, we're not talking about any like tragic life-altering craziness, just the kind of things that a guy like me struggles with. See, I like to be in control of what you ask, all of you, everything, everyone, anything that I'm remotely near and around. Because when things don't go the way I think they should, I didn't say when they didn't go right, but when things don't go the way I think they should, or I don't have control of the way things are going, it's a struggle for me. Now, I tend to just kind of say when I'm unhappy about something, I just kind of put it out there. I'm not one of those who kind of buries things down and, you know, holds on to stuff. You know, like, I'll tell you, but then sometimes I don't let it go. I keep letting it eat. Like, I keep thinking, I cannot believe he did that. Why in the world would she have said that? And then I let it, and what I realized is that though it wasn't kind of on the surface, deep down inside, God was telling me, you got to get rid of this stuff because you're supposed to preach about this stuff on Sunday, and I'm not letting you get to that platform before you deal with this stuff. I got physically ill this week. I was so worked up about some stuff that, like, I was just jacked up inside. I won't go into details, but you can figure that out. And it took until Friday afternoon at 5 p.m. for me to get to a place where I was ready to really share what God's put on my heart. And it took me kind of believing the truths I'm going to share and applying the truths I'm going to share and kind of living out over this past week the truths that I'm going to share before God would allow me to get up here and share these things with you. So that's where I'm at. Where are you at? See, if you're lacking glee today, I'd venture to say there's probably a few reasons why. One, like we said at the beginning, you've probably forgotten that God's there with you and he's holding on to you real tight. But the other thing that's going on is you're probably paying more attention to the wrong things than you should. See, because instead of paying attention to the good news that's found in this collection of books called the Bible, you're paying more attention to this news, the gloom and doom and the tragedy of the week that you find in the newspaper, maybe on television. And let me just tell you, I used to love watching the news all the time, listening to news radio. I wanted to be in the know about what was going on in the world. And I'm not saying stick your head in the sand, but man, you can get consumed by trying to stay up to date with all the craziness that's going on in the world. And it can, again, that was one of the things that this week God kind of had to wrestle with me on because I was just letting things in the news and tragedies just kind of just tear at me. And again, I'm not saying we shouldn't be aware of those things and we shouldn't do things about it if we can, but we can't let those things consume us. We can't pay too much attention to the news of the day and not remember the good news that God's brought us through his word. You know, another place that I'm really, let me share this. One of the things, and some of you guys will know what this is like. I'm a new parent. My son Mason James will turn 5 months this week. And ever since he was born, and I'm sure this never happened until my son was born, but every week there's some new thing that's going to kill my child that's being recalled on the news. I'm sitting down to study the word, to work on this message, and I don't know why. I was listening to the 11 o'clock news, and stay tuned for safety recall on child infant seat, dangerous. And I'm like, all right, click, and I turned it off. Then I found out, make sure it wasn't our safety seat, and it wasn't, so that was good. You got to be careful, because you can get consumed by negative things. You know one of the places I'm starting to see all this negativity come out? Right here. Check it out. Pop up that next slide, guys. I know it's kind of small, but what you're looking at there is yesterday's screenshot of my Facebook and my Twitter feed there. And hopefully there's nothing that's going to embarrass anybody in the church, because, you know, I'm connected to a lot of you guys there. But, man, there are just, can I just be real with you? No? I'm going to be real anyway. Facebook is beginning to become a stream of stupidity. I mean, seriously. Again, and I'm just preaching out what God did with me this week, and maybe he can do something with you through what I'm sharing. I don't know. But this week, I had to pull back from Facebook and Twitter, because people are slamming each other on there, and they're slamming this group of people, and they're, you know, posting craziness. And I'm just like, again, it was like Thursday afternoon. I was just like, I'm done with that. Maybe I'll look at it tomorrow. You know, people are slamming each other, and it's just too much stuff that we're paying attention to that isn't the good news that we need to pay attention to, which is God's word. But for some of us, it's not the news that we put into our, you know, through our eyes. It's not the Facebook and the Twitter that we're paying attention to. For some of us, we're losing our joy because of the voices that we listen to. We're listening to the wrong voices. For some of us, it's the voice of a friend who maybe really isn't a friend, because if they were a friend, would they really say those things to you? Would they really do those things to you? Maybe it's the coworker who turns everything into negativity at work. Maybe it's the family member who tells you all the things that you're doing wrong. We're listening to the wrong voices. Recently, some of us have been listening to a different voice, and it's been tearing away at our joy.
John Smith wants to tear down your schools. John Smith wants your kids to be stupid. If elected, John Smith plans to invade Canada. This morning, John Smith ate your puppy for breakfast. John Smith, wrong on education, wrong on diplomacy, wrong on nutrition. John Smith, wrong for America, paid for by the other guy who is wrong for America.
I love the country that I've been blessed to be born in and live in, and that I get to have a say, and praise the Lord for early voting. Hallelujah. But go with me here for just a minute. This is going to be hard for some of you. Forget the results of the election. Just, I know it's tough. And if you can't do that, then just try that and you'll start to find more joy. But just for a minute, forget the results of the election. And let me just ask you, forgetting the results, are you just glad the process is over? And it's not because we don't love our representative republic democracy that we have. It's that we don't want to hear about John Smith invading Canada or how everyone's going to destroy America. And we're tired of, you know, half running over political signs at the corner of every turn. And here's the one that kills me, and it just tears me up. It's seeing two people who for 2 years straight are best friends, who love one another and encourage one another, but then one of them's a Democrat and one of them's a Republican. And then during this kind of time of the year, every couple of years, they start slamming each other, doing stupid stuff on Facebook, and they're just tearing each other, throwing dirt at each other. You're stupid. You're an idiot. How could you believe that? And all the while, their unchurched, unsaved friend is standing back saying, and this is how Christians love one another? Love my country, love that we get a chance to take part in it, but man, the process, if you listen to the voices too much, if you let yourself be consumed by those voices, it's real easy to lose your joy. It's real easy to lose your glee. For others of us, it's not about what we see, it's not about the voices we listen to, it's really just about kind of what's going on in our lives. For some of us, we've lost joy because we don't have what we think we deserve. We haven't gotten what we want. God hasn't done for me what God should do for me. We've lost our joy because we walk through life looking at God the same way my buddy Finn from Glee looks at God. Check it out.
It all started a week ago. I was super hungry, but my mom was gone, so I busted out the George Foreman. It wasn't making the cool grill marks it used to after I tried to use it to dry my shoes, but when it comes to grilled cheese, I'm not that fancy. And when I pulled the sandwich out, I saw the face of God. Literally, I had made a grilled cheeses.
I'm so hungry.
I'm not the most religious guy. I sort of worship Eric Clapton and Ocho Cinco, but this was different. So I decided to see what it felt like to, you know, pray.
Dear grilled cheeses, first of all, you're super delicious. Please, grilled cheeses, please let us win our first football game. It would mean so much to Artie, and I think you kind of owe it to him. I mean, you did sort of screw him in the leg department. And in return, cheesy lord, I'll make sure we honor you this week in Glee Club.
We laugh, but many of us go through life treating God like a genie in a bottle, like he's going to grant us three wishes. We negotiate with God. Well, if you'll do this, God, then I'll do this. Well, if only you'll give me, then I will give you. Bless me with this, and then I'll honor you. And we lost our joy because we're looking at God and we're asking him to give us a bunch of stuff or do a bunch of things for us. And when that doesn't happen, we start letting go of our joy. Here's the deal. Our joy, our hope, and our faith is not determined by whether God gives us something or doesn't give us something. It's not determined by current events. It's not determined by the voices that you listen to. It's determined by one thing and one thing only. And that's our hope in God. If you're putting your hope and your faith in anything but God, there's no way you're going to have joy. Our joy comes from God. If you got your Bibles with you, we're going to dive in. We're going to have several scriptures. They'll be up on the screens if you can't get to them or you don't have your Bible with you. I'd encourage you to bring your Bible next week because that's what we do on Sundays. We study God's Word. But here's why we should have some joy in our life. Not because of all that stuff that is or isn't happening or what is or isn't being said, but because of what's found right here in Psalm 130, verse 7. Trust in the Lord because his love is constant and he is always willing to save. Where does your joy come from? Trust in the Lord. Why do you trust in the Lord? Because his love is constant, it's unfailing, and he is always willing to save you. We said earlier that glee is defined as open delight and pleasure. Why should we have delight and pleasure? Check out what Psalm 147, 11 says. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. We should have delight, we should have joy in our hearts because God delights in us. Think about that for a moment. God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, he's made everything you've ever seen. He holds the universe in the palm of his hands. That God delights in you. He finds joy in a relationship with you. That's where our joy comes from. We delight because God delights in us. We put our hope in him because he loves us and he saves us. If you're not experiencing joy today, this may be hard to hear, but it's the truth. If you're not experiencing joy today, it's probably because you've put your hope and faith in the wrong things. Lamentations 3:25. Yeah, that's not a book we jump into a lot at New Horizons, so feel free to use your table of contents to find that one. It's okay to use your table of contents. Lamentations 3:25 says this. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Wall Street. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in the Democrats To those whose hope is in the Republicans, to those whose hope is in the Tea Party. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in their jobs. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in their spouse. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him. He is good to the one who seeks Him. If you're not experiencing joy, maybe it's because you're putting a little bit too much hope in those other things. And maybe the things I said aren't your things, but right now you know what your thing or things are that you're putting your hope in instead of God. Let me just bottom line it. There is no joy apart from God. This would be a good time to start taking notes. If you're not taking notes, write this one down. Just humble me, pull out your note sheet, write this down. There is no joy apart from God. Now here's, you might find happiness in some of that other stuff. It might feel good for a while. It may not hurt you immediately. But if you put your hope in any of that other stuff, eventually those feelings are going to fail you. And there'll be no real joy, no true joy, apart from God. Psalm 68:3. I'm going to read from God's Word translation. Only those who seek God find true joy. It says, "But let righteous people rejoice. Let them celebrate in God's presence. Let them overflow with joy." Who's going to celebrate? Who's going to overflow with joy? Righteous people. Now, a lot of you are checking out because you don't understand what righteous means. Let me clarify. Righteous simply means right with God. What you do does not make you righteous. Who you have a relationship with is what makes you righteous. Righteous people rejoice, celebrate, and overflow with joy. How do you become a righteous person? How do you become right with God? There is one way and only one way, and it's through a personal saving relationship with the one and only Son of God, Jesus Christ. God made a way for you and for me, past all of our sin, past all of the stuff that separates us from God, back to Him, and His name is Jesus Christ. And it's through that relationship that we're made right with God. And when we're right with God, we celebrate in His presence, we rejoice, and we overflow with joy. Who's going to be filled with joy?